Giuseppe Tomasi di Lampedusa. He's the prince of the Italian island of Lampedusa. And he wrote just one novel in his lifetime, but what a novel it was, The Leopard. It was declared unpublishable in his lifetime, was released after his death, and since then has become one of Italy's bestsellers, is considered a masterpiece, was made into a film starring Burt Lancaster, if I'm not mistaken. Author Stephen Price has apparently read and reread several times this novel and has been inspired by it in the man who wrote it and has released his own take on this enigmatic individual in his new Giller Prize-nominated novel, Lampedusa, published by McClellan and Stewart. And Stephen Price joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, first off, congratulations.
Thank you.
I know you made a long list with your last book by Gaslight. Now you're on the short list. I have a good feeling about this. Tell me about The Leopard and how its author affected your life.
Well, I was 20 years old, so this would be 20 years ago when I first read it. Mm-hmm. This novel, this strange novel, The Leopard, and it was quite unlike anything else I'd ever read. At the time, I was an aspiring writer. I was in a writing program in Victoria, and my fellow students, the other young writers, it was a book that we would pass back and forth between
really?
Us. As something that we were trying to make sense of. And it was so different from anything else that we had read. And I didn't know what to do with it, and I put it aside, and I came back to it a few years later, and the book felt a little different.
Mm.
It had changed, of course, in my reading of it, because I had changed.
Of course.
And when I read it a third time a few years after that, it had the same experience. Again, it was a slightly different book. It was kind of growing with me, which I think is kind of, to some degree, the definition of a masterpiece.
Yeah.
But if you had told me then that I would someday write a novel about the writing of that book,
right.
I wouldn't have believed you. I wouldn't have ever imagined that I would do it.
But what was the spark? What was the genesis that said, you know what, this has got its own story in it?
Well, a few years ago, there's very little information out there in English on Giuseppe Tomasi mm-hmm. di Lampedusa. And what is out there usually exists in prefaces and forewords to various editions of The Leopard.
Mm-hmm.
And they always say that he's somebody who did very little with his life. He was a dilettante. He was an impoverished Sicilian prince.
Right.
And at the end of his life, he sat down and wrote a book. Mm-hmm. And that book was The Leopard. But then a few years ago, I came across a biography in English on Giuseppe Tomasi di Lampedusa. And the biography was fascinating to me because it turned out that he actually lived a most extraordinary life. He did incredible things, including, for instance, he fought in the First World War. He was taken prisoner. He escaped from a prisoner of war camp twice because the first time he was caught.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. He lived quite an unusual life. But when I read the passage near the end of the book about the 2 years in which he was writing The Leopard, I could see that the things that he had lived through, the sequence of events that he experienced in those 2 years, had almost a perfect echo or parallel in the strange structure of the book that he was actually writing. And when you could take his lived life out and lay it on top of this fiction, this novel mm-hmm. he had written, I could see the structure of a novel there.
He seems, I haven't read the biography, but just from your novel, I mean, he seems haunted by loss, by sadness. He's almost weighted down by it. It follows him his entire life. But at the same time, he has this, at the end of his life, almost this uplifting mission to record things the way that they were before they are lost to history.
Yeah, I think that's a really accurate reading of the book. You know, the book begins with him. He was a man completely in despair. His adopted mm-hmm. son, Gioacchino Lanza, told me when I visited him in
Sicily.
Wait
a minute, you met him?
I did meet him.
Get out of here!
Yes.
Wow! He's still alive?
He is. He's 85 years old. He's a character in the novel, of course.
Mm-hmm.
In my novel, he's 22 at the time in the 1950s. But he is still alive. And I knew that when I started working on the novel, and I was quite nervous about it because, of course, I have to describe a still living person. Yeah, but when I did meet him in Sicily, he took me on a tour of the Palazzo Via Butera, which is where Lampedusa lived out his last years, and described this palazzo as it was in Lampedusa's day. Now it's restored; it's absolutely beautiful.
Mm.
But in his day, it was, you know, the ceiling had fallen in; it had been bombed quite badly in the war, and they were living in poverty, really.
Wow.
But he was so gracious, and he was so charming and elegant, and he spoke so slowly with this deep, rich, beautiful Italian accent. I loved him very much. He was charming.
It's interesting. I mean, because Giuseppe has these three young people who come over for literary discussions with him once or twice a week. As a matter of fact, he adopts one of them. Was that a way for him to, I don't know, put up a wall against the modern world, in a way? You know, he's got this. He's got like this. They're almost like bridges between what he was living and what was actually going on.
Well, I think he lost so much in the war. I mean, he lost so much across his lifetime. Mm-hmm. But by the time the 1950s have come around, he's lost his properties. He's lost almost his entire family. He's lost all of his wealth. And he's not really sure, I think, what he's doing, mm-hmm. what he's doing with his life. And then a few things happen. And one of those things that happens in the 1950s is he meets these young people in their enthusiasm, their unlived lives that stretch out ahead of them, this optimism about the possibilities of life. Mm. I think that starts to bring him back to life. I mean, my novel does begin with this melancholy man.
Yeah.
But I like to think of it as a sort of a redemptive story. I mean, he starts writing this book. He becomes closer and closer to these young people, and he kind of rediscovers life, you know, how to live.
Mm-hmm.
So I certainly, having the young people in his life at that time, I think really kind of helped bring him out of his shell.
What I also find interesting when you speak about young people, I mean, The Leopard is as you said, a book you read in your 20s. It's kind of like, you know, Siddhartha in that way. I mean, it is a book that appeals to younger people, it seems, when you first read it. It's not a book you tackle when you're 70.
Well, I think you could.
Well, you could, but...
Yeah, and you know, I would say that, as I said, every time I do come to it, I find myself noticing new things and connecting with different characters in the book. So I think it would be an interesting experience to first read it in your 70s.
It would be, actually. Maybe I'll hold off and do a rereading when I'm then. I'm going to ask you a very broad question, because obviously this book deals with nostalgia.
Mm.
And obviously in today's world, nostalgia can be a bad thing as well. I mean, where do you stand on that? Is it a good thing to look at things with a, you know, 2020 hindsight, or with that kind of waxing poetic hue about everything?
Well, I think that Lampedusa was interesting as a character, as a person, because he's somebody who was born into wealth in the 1890s. And then he watched his world and his wealth and his privilege slip away until, by the end of his life, he had very little. He seemed like an anachronism.
Yeah.
And he sat down and he wrote this novel. And his novel is set in the 1860s, The Leopard. And it tells the story of a prince in that time, an aging prince who's watching, feeling his powers beginning to slip, fall away from him as he's growing older. And his world is changing. The aristocracy is giving way to this proto-democracy. It's the Risorgimento. It's the rise of a unified Italy. Yeah, but Lampedusa is somebody that could have looked back at that time with deep nostalgia, remembering a better time,
right,
a time when things made more sense to him.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't. He's very ambiguous about it. He doesn't let himself off the hook, and he doesn't let his class off the hook. But he can't quite bring himself to endorse the new order either. It's as if he's too aware of the failings that are innate in everybody, how everybody is susceptible to a longing for power and for meaning and for purpose, and how they can forget the things that perhaps are most important, such as the dignity of human life.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he himself embraces this ambiguous aspect to the book, I think that's pretty remarkable.
It really is. It is an incredible story. I want to thank you so much for dropping by today, and thank you so much for writing this book.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
Been speaking to Stephen Price, author of the Giller Prize-nominated Lampedusa, published by McClellan & Stewart. If you're looking for a great read, my friends, either go online or to a brick-and-mortar bookstore and pick this up immediately. You will not be disappointed.